everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 120 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsoft users are pinging each other about, and 120 weeks of you graciously interacting with us and commenting and playing with us, participating in the show, giving us feedback, and following me on Twitter. And following me on Twitter, and I am proud to say that I am a mere 10.
That's how she verifies that.
That's
number.
Right.
That's her checksum ability.
That's right. Followers away from winning. So my assumption is for next week's episode 121.
I'm going to pay for like 500 followers.
The Twitter competition will be put to rest, and we will then be amidst deciding how to make Paul suffer. So thank you for that. And last week there's a couple people I think. Who is this person that insists in writing binary? Martin Mine?
Probably.
Martin Mine, while I appreciate your ability to decode binary and to write in binary.
It'd be encoding binary.
To decode it, should we respond back?
That would be us. That'd be me.
No, if we were to respond back in binary, he would have to decode it.
Right. If we responded with a response in binary.
Yeah.
But we don't do that.
So I have.
Yeah.
I have.
Well, not on camera. That would be impressive.
Well, I just have to scan it. Anyway, the point is, it bothers me. And it takes me so long to scroll down through that much zeros and ones to get to the next comment in English.
Those 12 milliseconds, yeah. It is in English. It's just in binary English.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Well, there are other people that have figured out ways to have a single line of non-wrapping binary text that basically.
So I don't have to scroll.
Yeah.
So I prefer that wrapped.
Yeah.
If you have to write in binary,
he
does. I prefer that he figured out that other way.
Yep.
And the other comment we wanted to talk about.
D-Tower. Yeah, so we were talking last week about the features that we want on Windows Phone. Future versions of Windows Phone, whether it's Windows Phone 8 or whatever it's going to be called. And we were telling them that we want to get screenshot support.
Right, so I can remember all the times I beat you at Word by post.
Well, it's not that hard to remember zero.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I did it once.
D-Tower's you can do that today. You just need to get a second Windows Phone so you can take a picture of the first Windows Phone.
Right. I mean, that's thinking. That's thinking.
Pretty brilliant.
I do have, I just need to carry around more than one of these with me.
Well, you have two now.
I do. I have three.
Wow.
I have three.
And it probably explains why two of them are broken, because you're probably juggling them and dropped two.
I do know how to juggle. I'm good. Anyway, is there anything else that you'd like to...
Sri Kalyan said, can I get a job at Microsoft using Bing Deals? Yes. Yes, you can. You just have to pay us 50% of the cost.
There you go.
Perfect.
Done. Let's start the show.
Okay.
Paul, I don't think we've made it a secret. Microsoft has made it very well known since sort of the beginning of the Xbox 360 that the goal, long term, was to have this be the centerpiece of your living room.
Yes.
To have it be an entertainment, gaming, media hub.
Yeah.
You know, where this is where you went in the living room. The Xbox was the core element of your family fun time.
Yeah.
Right? And we've now announced that we are just one step closer to that by bringing a lot of original programming from cable companies to your Xbox 360.
Yep.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so this is something that a lot of people have been wanting for a while, where it's allow me to get rid of my DVR and get some content through Xbox. And we've been doing a lot of this over the last couple of years with Netflix, with Hulu Plus, with our Zune services, where you could buy individual items on demand. And that's all been some great stuff. Over in the UK, I think there was Sky TV.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the ESPN3 content on there. So we were getting all this stuff. And now there's one more announcement that we want to make.
Yeah. So we are originally AT&T had their streaming technology.
Yeah, it was called UVerse, right?
UVerse, yeah. And now we're also Comcast and Verizon is coming to Xbox. And there's a list, a big whole laundry list of people like HBO Go, Bravo, Sci-Fi, TMZ, UFC, all of this stuff also going to be coming to your Xbox. And this is happening soon. This is happening this holiday season.
Yep. And the cool stuff about this is that some of these may be also Kinect enabled, so there may be some additional interactions
and
there.
And Bing.
Yep, and Bing enabled. And by having Xbox Live Gold, and the subscription to the cable,
right,
you're now able to stream some of the content through there. So, for example, I think Comcast said that any of their on-demand showcases mm-hmm. are available through the Xbox. So it's not quite to the point yet where you can get rid of
no.
the DVR entirely.
No, and like you said, you still do need to have the subscription to HBO to get HBO
yep.
Go on your Xbox. So We're not at the end of the road yet.
No. Nope.
But it's definitely a clear step forward. Plus, you know, Xbox Live has also a lot of just original programming. I know one show is Hot Apps. You can go.
I know.
You can go and watch that on Xbox Live.
I wish there were more commercials in there. Honestly.
Yeah. Well, no, there's not. And but they're also working to create more original programming. And you know, obviously, this deal is just the first step in a long line of many steps that will hopefully get us so we don't have so many boxes in our little cart underneath our TV. You know?
Yeah, and we just have more boxes in the TV itself, so we can choose from all this content.
Exactly.
We just wave and
exactly.
we select the box.
We don't even need the remote control anymore.
I know.
It's gonna be great.
Which is like Xbox
on.
Yes.
HBO. It's not TV.
All right, Laura, you know that I am good friends with Max Zuckerman, the previous host of Ping. You may have known him.
Yeah, I try to keep my contact to a minimum with him nowadays,
sure.
But apparently
he was at Stanford.
Yes, he's too rich for my blood.
Yeah, but he was a huge, absolutely huge fan of Zune.
Yes, he was a fanboy, I'd go so far as to say.
He was a Zune fanboy, so he is probably now very upset that
yes.
Microsoft has announced the end to the Zune media player.
Moment of silence for the Zune.
Yep.
That's long enough. But it's not really the end, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because it's the end of that device, which they're still going to continue to support. But essentially, this little bad boy here really gives you all that functionality.
Yeah.
So
I think that this is important for Microsoft, seeing that at its peak it had at most 10%, I think, of the U.S. MP3 player market share.
Right, right.
And now with the phone, it's like we finally have something that's getting genuine consumer excitement, developer excitement. We have a strong platform on it. We have a strong team that's like designed and ready to execute
yep.
on having this stuff integrated. And we're starting to get the good plays between having it on the mobile device, being the phone, as well as on Xbox.
Right. And I think the goal here is always to have to carry around fewer things.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got this,
yep.
and then essentially you'll have your tablet, probably,
yep.
and that's all you need,
and,
your Xbox.
Well, I also have one of these so that you guys at home can always see me.
Right, we're hoping to do
me.
Away with those.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike can get some boom mics in here or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we really need to upgrade
cool.
the level of technology.
Maybe get like a green screen in the background. That would be that'd be pretty sweet.
You never know. But so anyway, rest assured, if you have a Zune, and you love your Zune, you can still use your Zune, and it will still be supported. Although I do think they made a change to the subscription, where you used to get to keep, at the end of every month, you got to keep like 10 songs.
Oh, yeah?
But what they've done is they've lessened the monthly subscription price, but I don't get to keep the songs.
Oh, I see.
So it's just subscription-based. So they're making some changes, but really, just get yourself a Windows phone and call it a day, people.
Yeah, literally call it, because you can now.
Yeah, I like that. So the headline for this next news story really kind of irked me, Paul, because the headline reads, Microsoft tries to make Hotmail cool again with overhaul. Well, when were we not cool? When was Hotmail not cool?
Well,
in terms of email services, first of all, I didn't know an email service could be cool.
Well,
okay,
that's your first problem.
That's my first problem. I'm sure there's many more.
Yeah. So, I think that there were a number of things that Microsoft kind of had like the stodgy persona about it for a while.
Right, but to say that like Gmail is cool, I mean. And Yahoo is cool, and Hotmail is not cool. These aren't things, you know, like leather jackets and motorcycles. That's cool.
I think that was cool.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
Now, apparently,
well,
sandals and socks at the same time is cool, and Hotmail is cool.
Well, yeah, I think the people that had sandals and socks is what made Hotmail uncool, and now we're trying to
make
that
uncool.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, they're making it cool again.
Yeah, well, I think that having it be cool is not really what the things are doing for it now. Like, I think it's useful. It's going to be useful after
right.
these next other things. So the article describes that some stats. So I always like starting off with some stats. So it said...
Stats are cool.
Stats are so
cool. Stats are cool.
Oh, my gosh. All right. It said, according to Microsoft, 50% of typical email inboxes are filled with newsletters and deal notices.
Yes.
So just like we talked about last week on Bing Deals.
Right.
Microsoft is trying to help us out, trying to...
Yeah, they call it gray mail. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah. So
you had?
I've never heard of gray mail before.
Okay. Because you're like,
I've heard of spam. But I'm familiar with the concept where they have this thing called gray mail where it's like you are subscribed to things that you really don't care to look at on a continual basis.
So, I get them all the time.
Yeah.
I get these travel offers, you know, I get newsletters from, like, Banana Republic, things like this that I don't want.
Yeah.
And it's annoying, and not only is it annoying, but they're annoying most of the time to unsubscribe to. So when I go in...
Yeah, those one clicks
at the
bottom.
No, but they're not usually just one click. First of all, they keep the little unsubscribe link very small and hidden, and I always have to go digging for it. And then you click on it, and it throws you to a web page, and sometimes it makes you re-enter your email address, and then it wants to know why you're unsubscribing. Then it wants to confirm that you really want to unsubscribe. And, like, you know,
at this point, you've then validated your email address for all these spammers to then go spam
it's annoying.
You.
So what the new cool Hotmail is doing is doing all that work for you.
Yeah.
So you can just hit within the Hotmail, one click, get this out of my email box inbox, never let it come back again. And Hotmail does all that trivial work for you.
Yeah. So it does a bunch of things under the cover. So first off, it takes all the previous mail from that newsletter.
Yes.
And either archives it or puts it somewhere that you want to put it. Then it says that it will try and unsubscribe on your behalf. So it will go to the place and say, you should unsubscribe from this, because if you don't, we're next thing you send to us, we're putting it in the spam filter.
Mm-hmm.
So the more spam you send this account, it's probably going to be globally marked as spam. So there are all sorts of great things that Microsoft
is doing. I really like that feature, you know, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, well, there's another one that's called Schedule Cleanup, where it can automatically delete all the previous versions of something. So, for example, if you get a Groupon or a Living Social mail every single day, and you don't want to look at all the previous versions, you can say, every time I get a new mail that's about this, take away everything else. So you only have one copy of all the mail. So
really
at
useful
the end
stuff.
Of a month, you don't have 30 of these things in your inbox. You have one.
I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, I really do like being able to have things like this built into our email, and I'm glad that we're taking a holistic approach at solving some of these problems versus just trying to, like, add another UI feature or a bunch more clicks for people to do. It's like, what are people really trying to solve?
Right.
And they've thought holistically and put together, like, these five features to really...
Yeah, I think it falls in line with the way all of our new products are going, where they're really smart, really intuitive, try to figure out how to make your life easier and do it for you. So, yeah. I appreciate that, because I don't like to
Good
do
job,
for
cool
myself.
Mail. You're hot.
Yeah. So, I don't know how much of this next story is just speculation, and how much of it is actual fact.
100%.
100% fact. 100% speculation.
They add up to 100%.
That's right. The two do. But anyway, Gizmodo posted this article saying that Microsoft is filing for a body scan patent to let you know when you're ready to watch porn.
Yeah. So
now,
clearly
that is not the intention.
Right, that's the way that they spun it. Because
they've
got the article from TechRadar, who got it from GeekWire, who got it from Microsoft. So this is like a game of telephone here.
Right.
Where each of them tries to be more sensational than the last.
Right.
So
and of course the headline we pulled out.
Well, of course.
The one that says porn.
Right. Good job.
But what I do believe is that they have filed for this body scan patent, what they plan to do with it. TBD.
Well, yeah, I think so. The patent is that with Kinect's depth sensor, it can understand the proportions between the length of your arms, the length of your legs, the length of your torso, and like what your body looks like, and it can auto categorize you into different age groups, like whether you're really young, you're a teenager, you're an adult,
right?
And based on that, it can start filtering content. So, for example, if you're watching like a rated R movie as an adult,
right,
and that's fine for you to watch, but then like the second a kid runs in there, it'll analyze and find out there's a kid and pause the movie. That way, you're not potentially showing your kids
so many
subjective
problems
behavior.
With this, though. What if my 40-year-old friend is a midget?
Yeah.
Who wants to watch an R-rated movie with myself.
Right, if they're a little person. So they're actually override controls that will allow you to not automatically filter to children content in games.
Right, the example that Gizmodo points out there is if it notices that you have breasts, It might think you're a woman and therefore give you a bunch of romantic comedy movies in your queue, something you may not want.
So I
because
need
I know
to
men
now,
with breasts.
So I need to get breasts now to watch romantic comedies.
Well, you need to get breasts for several reasons.
Stop the program!
Yeah.
But anyway, interesting to see the way that the different articles have been spun by the different news sources. And the way we're going to spin it is we don't know what they're going to do with the patent, but we're sure they'll use it for good and not evil. How about that?
Yeah, I think that sounds
And right. I don't think porn was probably in their patent application. I don't think that word would have been in it.
Probably not in the patent application.
Yeah.
But we all know that there are certain things that people do in technology to
don't.
Enable...
I don't know that.
Yeah, we don't need to go back
you
to
know
the
that.
IE8 marketing campaign.
Okay. That's a wrap. All right, everybody, that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in and watching, as always. And I think we would be remiss to not mention the loss last week of one of our industry visionaries and leaders, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
He's obviously contributed immeasurably to the technology sector.
Yeah.
And
Steve was somebody that, growing up, like, I was always a huge Microsoft fanboy and mm-hmm. therefore a Mac hater. Like, to the point where,
like,
I
like them both.
To the point where I think my friend and I both had email addresses like that were like Mac Hater and Mac Hater 01, and we just had all these different versions of Mac hating.
Cool.
Yeah, we were
cool.
Super awesome. Anyway, it's I had such an irrational dislike for Apple for many, many years, even after I'd been at Microsoft for a few years. And then over the last couple of years, I've actually seen, like, the types of things that they've been able to do and the type of leadership that Jobs has
yeah.
brought to that company. Like, I watched the Macworld Boston keynote from 1997, which is the first keynote that he took over
uh-huh.
After having been gone for many years. And he had everything spot on there. He was like, you know, a lot of people are telling Apple to close their doors, that they should just stop doing what they're doing, and,
right.
and they're unable to execute. And he's like, I don't see it that way. He's like, I see we have fantastic people that are able to execute. They're just executing the wrong things, and it was a lack of leadership. And then he comes in, and sure enough, you know, 14
sure
years
enough.
Later, it's
sure
like
enough.
he was running the most valuable company in the world. So my hat goes off to Steve as an
yeah.
incredibly influential.
Good to him. I've heard
visionary.
Him described as an artist, and technology is his medium. So you can love him or hate him, you cannot discount what he's done for
yeah.
us in technology.
But
so
he will definitely be missed.
You will be missed. And with that, follow me at @lfoy on Twitter. That's it.
Right.
And see you next week. Get it. I got a couple.